wanted to make sure that wasn't green and gold. I've had a wonderful weekend with your church, your spectacular church. I've learned so much by being here. I'm sure I've learned more than I've taught. One of the things I've learned is a lot about hospitality. You're very, very good at that. And thank you for the privilege of being with you, and now for the high honor of being able to read God's word and proclaim it in your pulpit. Our text is Genesis 17, verses 1 through 5, and 15 through 18. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face. And God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations." God said to Abraham, "As for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live in your sight." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, we ask that by your Holy Spirit, we would hear this not simply as an ancient story, but as the marvelous story of your gospel in our lives as well. Be gracious to our seeking of that word. In the name of Christ Jesus, the Word made flesh. Amen. Did they run out and buy a crib? Did they set up a nursery? Start talking about names? Did Sarai begin to make baby clothes? The Lord God promised Abram and Sarai in their old age that he would give them a child, if only they would leave the security of their home and begin a journey of faith with him. A couple who spent their whole marriage waiting for a child finally receives word from God that they're going to have one. They couldn't resist at least getting the crib, I'm sure of that. But that promise that God made was made 24 years ago. For the most part, Abram and Sarai have kept up their end of the deal. They've been on the journey with God, traveling from place to place, never settling anywhere very long, always having to reassemble an empty crib. Abram is now 99 years old. Sarai, his wife, is 89. They've had good years and they've had bad years, but what they haven't had is a baby. And I imagine the last few places they went, they stopped reassembling the crib. You also know what it's like to have a dream that has not worked out as you had want it. Maybe it's a dream regarding a relationship, or your work, or the kind of impact your life would have. Like Abram and Sarai, at first this dream was a source of great encouragement. You worked hard towards the dream. You got up every morning chasing the dream. It was a part of your life. But as the years rolled by and the dream seemed elusive, the disappointments began to pile up. It got hard to keep unpacking this dream. And so eventually you just left it on a shelf in the closet of your heart and told yourself you had to settle for the way things are. It was actually Sarai, in her settling for how things are, who came up with the idea that Abraham should try to have a child with Sarai's handmaid, Hagar. Now, I realize that this was an ancient custom. It was done all the time. But it's still hard for me to believe that anyone living in any culture at any time ever thought this was a good idea. Sure, sweetheart, you just sleep with the help and our dreams will come true. It certainly wasn't Sarai's dream. But she told herself, sometimes you have to edit down the dream. You have to settle for the way it is. The child that Abram and Hagar had together is named Ishmael. By the time we get to our text today, he is 13 years old. On one of these ordinary days into which Abram and Sarai have settled, the Lord God came calling. As soon as Abram realized that he was talking to God, he fell on his face in worship. The first thing that God said was that he had a new name for himself, El Shaddai. El Shaddai means God of the mountains, or as our text translates it, the Lord God Almighty. Second thing that God says was that Abram was getting a new name also. From now on, he will be called Abraham, which means the father of a multitude of nations. Well, at this point, Abraham stands back up. In fact, I imagine he's standing pretty tall. Yes, sirree, you can just call me father of a multitude of nations. Clearly, God is going to pull through after all. I just had to lower my sights on the dream. Obviously, God was going to bless Ishmael. Yes, O Lord, please, just bless Ishmael. Isn't this what we also do? Don't we take the amazing dreams, the amazing promises given to us by God, and over the years learn how to simply tailor them down to something that we can achieve on our own? We all have a Hagar plan, something that we come up with on our own to get us some approximation of God's dream, something that we achieve. And then we bring it to God and ask God to bless it. Let's make this the dream. You bless this, God will call it even. Because after all, we have to be realistic. God doesn't much care for our realistic arguments. He waves this aside and he says to Abraham, oh, and I'm also changing Sarai's name to Sarah, because don't forget, the two of you are going to have a baby. Well, the text says at this point, Abraham, it falls back down on his face, but this time it's because he's laughing too hard to stay standing. I'm having a what? A what? A baby with Sarah? What? I was impressed I had a baby with that young thing Hagar when I was 86. I'm paraphrasing here a little bit. What the text actually says is, can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarai, who is 90 years old, bear a child? What? I preached my very first sermon as a seminarian on this text. Unfortunately, I was preaching in a nursing home. I just thought I was being relevant. So I pointed out that Abraham and Sarah was at least as old as everyone in the congregation and maybe quite a bit older, and this means you can also have babies. No one received this as good news. And one woman actually interrupted the sermon and said, "Preposterous." Didn't occur to me until later that she was probably the only one who got this text just right. This is preposterous. The thing I remember the most about that sermon was that after the worship service was blessedly over, and they wheeled the residents back to their rooms, the chaplain, who was a middle-aged woman, stayed behind. And she said to me, "You know, my husband and I have never been able to have children. It's been a hole in my heart the whole time. How literally do you think we should take this text?" I immediately began to backpedal. I said, "Well, I was just preaching. I don't know. I think a lot of people want to have babies and can't have them." "Well, of course. None of us are confused about that. A lot of people die in spite of our prayers that they be healed. A lot of relationships fall apart in spite of prayerful work at reconciliation. And in spite of 2,000 years of missionary work, the world is still plagued by injustice and oppression and poverty." "Yes, of course. We don't get everything we pray for. We know that. But nevertheless, we have to persist as a people of preposterous hope. That's what we do. We have hope not just because it feels good, but because that's the nature of our gospel, a gospel which proclaims God is not done." That's what this story of Abraham and Sarah is all about. God is not done. It does not matter how long you've been dreaming and hoping. It does not matter how young or old you are. That's the message today. God is not done. He's not done in your life. God is not done with your family. God is not done with this church, and God is not done with this world that is still in his hands. We in the Christian community have to believe this after all that we've seen of Jesus Christ. All that he did, including going to the cross to die for our sins, not the least of which is the sin of settling, who then broke out of the tomb, who was risen and ascended then to the right hand of God the Father, who now reigns as Christ the King over all of the earth. Are you going to tell someone like that to be realistic? God is the one who creates reality. And with God, all things are possible. All things. Shortly after this conversation that God and Abraham has, God sends some angels to Abraham's tent just to tell him, "Hey, God's really serious about this child thing, and it's coming, the boy's coming very soon." Sarah was listening on the other wall of the tent, and this time the text tells us that Sarah's the one who couldn't contain herself and started laughing. When God heard the second person break out in laughter over this, God becomes intrigued. And so he says to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?" That's the question today. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Those of you who have waited and waited and waited for God's dream to be revealed in your life, those of you who have grown tired of waiting and have, in fact, edited down your dreams to something you could accomplish on your own, those who have settled for bodies that do not work well, for loneliness waiting for you at the end of the day, for a job that is just sucking away your soul, those of us who have settled for a world that seems to be intent on violence, what would happen if today El Shaddai came to you and said, the time of waiting is over. It's time for the dream to come true. Would you say, preposterous? Or would you say, well, is anything too wonderful for the Lord? You see, it is not our calling to worry about whether our dreams will come true or not. That's God's worry. Our call is to allow the dream to shape and mold our life, to every day turn our face toward it, to find our life's mission and hope in this dream, because that allows the dream to then form you. It is significant in the text that God changes Abraham and Sarah's name before the baby is born. That means that their identity and our identity is shaped more by a promise than by the fulfillment of the promise. It's the promise and waiting upon the promise that shapes your soul. It's as you face those days which it feels like the seams are coming apart of everything, or those long, dull days like Abraham and Sarah had, waiting and waiting and waiting, that's when you face the important questions of the soul, like, do you believe that God is not done? Do you believe that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion? Do you believe that nothing is too wonderful for the Lord? The important thing about this child being born to Abraham and Sarah isn't just that they wanted a baby. This child was a future. This child was the means by which Abraham would fulfill his calling of being blessed in order to be a blessing. When God first showed up and introduced himself to Abraham, he said, in you, all the families of earth will bless themselves. So what is it that the families of earth need most from the houses of worship? I think they need us to be a place that still believes in preposterous hope, who believes God is not done. They need us to be a community of people whose souls have been molded and shaped by this hope. Wouldn't it be great if that was our global reputation? Oh, the church, yeah, you wouldn't believe the hope those people have. That's what the world needs. They need us to believe in what we believe. They may not believe what we believe, but they at least need us to believe in what we believe. Because every significant event that has occurred in history, every great reformation, every great renewal, every great step forward in society began with somebody who had hope, hope that somebody else was calling preposterous. Let us be that people. It is also significant that God does not scold Abraham and Sarah for their laughter. In fact, it actually seems that God kind of joins in the laughter himself, because he tells them, when this baby's born, just go ahead and call him Isaac, which is Hebrew for laughter. You have to know that as this kid grew up, every time old Abraham would go outside and call laughter to come in for dinner, he had to smile, say to himself, Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? There is an important epilogue to this story. In the verses that follow our text today, the Lord God says to Abraham, "Okay, I will also bless Ishmael, and I will also make a great nation of him." Today, the great nation of Ishmael and the great nation of Isaac are having a hard time living together in the Middle East. It would be possible to say they've always had a hard time living together. That's just the way it is. Peace isn't coming there. Yes, you could say that. Or you could say that both of these nations have been blessed by God. Therefore, we will work, we will pray for peace. We will believe in a day of peace. That's the dream. Is that preposterous? Absolutely. But the last thing you ever want to tell God is to be realistic. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.